Hey, it's Melissa from Melissa in the Morning on WICC 600, and thanks for checking out the podcast right here. If you want, you can always subscribe, share, and like it. Hope to see you guys soon. Thanks. I am so excited to welcome back to the show this morning Michael Geyer, who's an award-winning director and producer. And today we're actually going to be talking to Michael about one of his documentaries, Healing the Heroes of 9/11. Michael, welcome back to the show. Good morning.
Thank you. Good to be here.
I'm glad to have you back with us. So tell us about this documentary. What's it all about?
Well, it is called, as you said, Healing the Heroes of 9/11. And we feature five different first responders from Ground Zero and the Pentagon. And they talk about first what they experienced 20 years ago, which pretty amazing stories. I mean, they bring you to tears. And then they talk about what they've experienced the last 20 years in regards to post-traumatic stress and other emotional things that bothered them and really affected their lives dramatically in a negative way. Then we put them through something called TRP, the Trauma Resiliency Protocol. And then afterwards, we filmed them again. And then they talked about the life changing that took place because of TRP after experiencing trauma and post-traumatic stress for 20 years. They now had their lives back after experiencing therapy. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. Okay, so first of all, how did you learn about, what is it called?
TRP, Trauma Resiliency Protocol. And there's an organization called 220.org. They're actually a nonprofit, and this is what they do. So my last film was called Wounded Heroes, and it was also a film that brought different treatments and programs that help people battling post-traumatic stress.
Yes.
One of the people I interviewed in that film was Dan Jarvis, and he runs 220, and he called me just a couple of months ago, literally only 2 months ago, and said, Michael, I have an idea. What do you think about Healing the Heroes of 9/11? Can we get it produced in the next 2 months? And I'm like, no, that's too fast. Right? Exactly. Well, somehow we got it done, and the film is absolutely amazing. So it's his organization that does TRP. He is a retired sheriff. He's a veteran, Afghanistan combat veteran. He's experienced post-traumatic stress with suicidal himself and how now has been completely healed from post-traumatic stress. And they've helped thousands across the country do the same. So the point of the film is to show that if 9/11 first responders who experienced horrific things and have battled post-traumatic stress for 20 years, if they can be healed, then we're basically showing that anybody can be. So it's a film of hope and a treatment that 220.org gives away at no cost to veterans, first responders, and their families. So it's a free treatment that will get them their lives back in less than an hour. It's pretty amazing.
Wow. We're talking to Michael Geyer. He is a director, and we're talking about his latest film, Healing the Heroes of 9/11. As he was talking about, it really features the lives of five 9/11 responders. And as you could probably imagine, and Michael, I'm sure you've seen this firsthand just from the work that you've done, the trauma, the PTSD. I mean, I would compare what anyone went through with 9/11 to things that maybe military will see overseas, or a firefighter will see in a deadly fire, a police officer will see in a head-on collision, a deadly head-on collision. I mean, these are things that I would think the average person really doesn't understand that level of PTSD.
They don't. And, you know, the thing is they experience it daily. You know, they get up every morning and when they go to work, this is what their life is. They're trauma, you know, many times. Not every day, of course, but I mean, for the most part, it's high, it's very intense. They're always on guard. They've got to make sure that they go home to their wife and children, husbands and children, you know, alive. And so there's a lot that happens every day that they experience that we have as civilians no idea the pressures and the trauma that can cause post-traumatic stress. And for them, many times they don't even know. It sneaks up on them, you know, little things that happen one day and then something next week and then something really big and then something else small. And before you know it, they start realizing, you know, I'm not feeling right. And then they start self-medicating many times just because they don't want to tell their superiors or their bosses because they don't want to have their job taken away or, you know, set aside or look to be weak or whatever the different thoughts are that I've heard them tell me. But the bottom line is with TRP, it's a very easy solution. And what they're also doing through 220 is they're teaching departments all over the country, fire departments, police departments, all of them, and veteran communities, military, active duty military communities, how to do TRP themselves. So within their own departments, they can help each other peer to peer, which is huge because many times they don't want to talk to a psychiatrist or a professional with a bunch of letters after their names. They've never experienced what they've experienced. They don't trust them. Many times they just want to give them drugs. Mm-hmm. That's not the answer. What they want is somebody who understands them, who's been where they are. So to have peer-to-peer within their own departments, or after a major shooting and something traumatic they've all experienced, they can go back and actually get the help they need on the spot before it turns into post-traumatic stress. I mean, there's so many amazing, valuable ways to use this. We really think it's going to be, I mean, they've already saved thousands of lives. It's just going to explode after this film comes out.
It's interesting. You know, I had never heard of trauma resiliency protocol. I've never heard of TRP. This is the first time mm-hmm. in talking to you that I've heard about it. And I'm just wondering why this hasn't been more widespread. Like, is this relatively new?
Well, so no. So it's a neurological intervention. And in Wounded Heroes, we featured two other treatments. One was called ART, Accelerated Resolution Therapy, and RTM, Reconsolidation of Traumatic Memories. All three of these, TRP included, are neurological interventions. Mm-hmm. They have the same outcome. They just go about it differently. And 220, Dan, what really helped him with his post-traumatic stress was ART and RTM. Since then, it's been a couple of years now, they've just gone back, they've looked at their neurological intervention, and what they've done is they've just made it more, improved. So mm-hmm. they do it in less than an hour. And there's just a few things that they tweaked, and then they just, called it trauma resiliency protocol. But what happens is through this hour-long, basically just talking with the person who's been trained in it, the person battling post-traumatic stress doesn't even have to talk about the trauma. That's the other really important thing. They don't have to talk
really?
About whatever it is they went through, which is huge because, the VA does the exposure therapy where they want you to talk about it over and over again in hopes that you get desensitized. And that has just been a huge failure. Some people benefit, but most drop out. Some have even taken their lives because they're so sick of having to talk about it over mm-hmm. and over again. It didn't help them. It just made things worse. So it's just been a huge disaster, prolonged exposure therapy, in my opinion, and many experts' opinions. So what's great about TRP is you do not even have to talk about the trauma, and in less than an hour. So it's a neurological intervention, and what happens is they're able to separate the emotion from the memory. Right now, they're attached. So anytime you have anything to do with that memory, that anything that comes up from that memory, or you smell something that reminds you of that memory, or all the different triggers that happen, they just get this overwhelming emotion that we can't even understand. It just, it just attacks them. Mm-hmm. So after TRP, literally that emotion is no longer attached to the memory. So they can now think about it. They can now talk about it, but they don't have an emotional reaction that is traumatic on their lives and destroying their lives.
Wow.
And it's all explained in the film. It almost sounds too good to be true. It really, I've seen it work. Even my camera guy, when we were in New York, he had a very traumatic experience in his life. So Dan, we were walking to the Empire State Building, and Dan found out about it. So as we're walking down the streets in New York on the way to the Empire State Building, Dan just ran Fernando, my camera guy, through TRP. And by the time we get to the Empire State Building, I never forget Fernando's face. He had this look on his face, and he was in such shock because he was like, "What just happened?" And I said, "Well, what's going on?" He goes, "It's gone." He goes, I don't feel the terror I felt thinking about the event anymore." He goes, "It's gone."
Wow.
And he just was shocked. I saw it happen walking the streets. It's that easy, and it's light. It's lasting. It's not a temporary fix like some things. This one is a lasting fix. I've talked to people who've had it years ago, and they're still doing amazingly well, sleeping through the night. Relationships are better. They're better at their job. Instead of operating at 50% or 70% because of their battles with post-traumatic stress, mm-hmm. they're able to operate at 100%. That's huge.
Mm-hmm. Now, Michael, one of the things you were just talking about was the fact that people who go through TRP, also Trauma Resiliency Protocol, they don't have to actually bring up the events that give them trauma. So, for example, first responders who are at 9/11 don't have to recall what that day looked like, what those weeks looked like following the event. I think that's incredible, considering if you go into any therapist's office on average, they're going to say, walk me through that day. Tell me what happened. Can you recall what happened? And you were saying that this could really trigger, you know, horrible aftermath for some people. Some it's healing. Others it's really traumatic. I'm wondering how available is this going to be made to people? As you mentioned, military, 9/11, those are two different categories, but also firefighters, first responders in the sense of like police officers, EMT workers. Can other people get their hands on this, or is this something like you need insurance to cover, like a therapist office?
You know, 220 would be able to answer that better, but from what I understand, civilians outside of the military or first responders, there is a fee. It's not that expensive. But those who are military or first responders and their families, they get it at no cost.
Wow.
And the website is actually the number 22 and then spelling out zero, zero.org. And the film is going to be available for free as well on their site. You'll see at 220.org, it'll say Healing the Heroes of 9/11. There's a link that takes you to the film page. And then as of Saturday morning early, I guess 12:01 a.m., you know, the film will be available for people to watch at no cost. It'll also be on YouTube and Vimeo and other places. They produced it literally just to save lives, not to make any money. And for an organization to give away the treatment that is so impacting on people's lives is spectacular to me. But they do, like I said, they do charge civilians from what I understand.
Okay. I mean, I think that's incredible. And you had just said it. So is your document that your film is going to be out on 9/11 right after midnight? It's going to be available.
Correct.
Okay.
On their website and on YouTube and Vimeo and everywhere else. Yeah.
Okay. So again, that website is the number two, spell out zero, zero.com. And not only can you find your...
.org.
.org. Thank you. All right. Let me fix that.
Yeah.
Here we go. Org. O-R-G. So 22, the numbers 22, and then spell out zero, zero.org. And when you go there, you will find the film that was directed, produced by Michael Geyer there, Healing the Heroes of 9/11, but also resources. If you are interested in trauma resiliency protocol, and if this interview maybe made you think, maybe, I don't know, definitely watch Michael's film, because it dives into this and it educates people on what first responders go through, but also how we can heal trauma and going through PTSD with something as simple as TRP. And it has a life-changing effect. And I think this is so beautiful, Michael. I so appreciate you coming on and showing this and telling us about this and taking the time to create a film on this. I think it's incredible.
Absolutely. And I appreciate you having us or having me and helping to get the word out about this film, because it is going to change lives.
Absolutely. In fact, once it airs on Saturday, Monday when we come back, I'm definitely going to play a snippet of it for our audiences so that we could just remind people, because I know this weekend is a very emotional weekend for many. But this is something that first responders go through every single day, whether it's 9/11 or, like I said, just going into work and responding to fires, accidents, shootings, whatever it may be. PTSD is very much alive and well. And if there are ways to heal, then I think we should get the word out there.
Great. Well, thank you again.
Michael, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much. And we will love to have you back on for your next project. Thank you, Michael Geyer.
All right. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Thank you. You too, my friend.
It's time to get up and get moving. Workout Wednesday. Melissa in the morning on WICC 600.
With, of course, our fitness guru, that is Amy Lyons here. Good morning, Ames. How are you?
Good morning, Melissa. What's going on this morning?
So, you know, I recently decided to kind of shift gears with my workout regime. During COVID, I was working out with my mom at her house. We had one of our old-time trainers who had been on and off training us for about 15 years come to the house and do training sessions. And oftentimes, my mom would kind of try to do the same things I was doing, and she would almost be offended if our trainer sort of adjusted the way she was doing it or would kind of lighten the load that she had to do. And eventually it had to be explained that, like, listen, Ma, you're in incredible shape, but you're over 60 years old and you can't do the same thing a 30-year-old is doing. And I thought this was actually a great topic for people who have been active, have been healthy since even their teens or 20s or 30s, and listening to their bodies. Do you have clients who maybe struggle in that area?
Yes, definitely. One of my favorite things to tell people is you are your best personal trainer. You have to listen to your body. If you're not going to listen to your body and take, you know, advantage of the signals that it's given you, you could really end up really, really hurt if you're not careful. Yes, we all have that mentality of I'm still 20 on the inside, but we're not, unfortunately. And we have to really listen to that and pay close attention, like I said, to the signals that it's given us. And there's nothing wrong with that. You could still stay in phenomenal shape, but you just have to take a step back and not go as brutally hard as you did when you were younger sometimes.
So, Amy, do you have any alternatives if you have, let's just say, bad knees, lower back, shoulder issues, things like that? What are alternatives for that?
Yes, definitely. I mean, for cardio, for example, swimming is wonderful. Swimming is wonderful because there's not as much pressure on your joints, tendons, and ligaments while you're in the water as if you were doing something, the same thing outside the water. You're still getting your heart rate up. It's just not as taxing on those joints, tendons, and ligaments. It's not all that pressure and that pull and all that gravity just killing your body. And that's what happens to us over time. Our cartilage degenerates over time, which is just a normal process. It's a process that happens with aging. There is something that you can take to help combat that. I think I spoke about it last week with you, and that's glucosamine and chondroitin. And our friends at Nature's Answers, they actually formulate it and make it right here in the United States. And they've been in business for over 50 years, and that is definitely something that can help with cartilage degeneration and help lessen that pain whenever you're trying to work out. And also a lot of flexibility and stretching. As we get older, we kind of have a tendency to stiffen up and not take care of our muscle bellies the way that we used to, and make sure that they're nice and fluid and open. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, yoga. Actually, it's wonderful for your body, and you will feel so much better. It alleviates so much stiffness, so much inflammation in the body, and definitely will keep you moving as if you were 20 again.
And it's so funny, Amy Linus, as you mentioned yoga. I always wonder why people go, oh, yoga. Yogis are in the best shape. I look at them and I'm like, dang,
if I
could look like you right now, I'd be so happy. I don't know why there's such a stigma. It's so weird.
I don't either. I mean, and it's all, you know, you clear your mind out, you clear your body, everything kind of balances and works together. So I think it's a wonderful thing. And yes, it will alleviate a lot of those aches and pains. And you can get back to kind of lifting, you know, you don't ever want to lift like a, you know, crazy like 20-year-old, but but yeah, you can get back to that.
And I'm curious, Amy, if you're somebody who grew up getting on a treadmill or an elliptical, does that have long-term effects on your knees?
Oh, without a doubt. Now, obviously, it's not the same as if you're running outside because they are made to absorb some of the shock that, you know, your body, like, feels whenever you're working out. Mm-hmm. But definitely, it can definitely cause the same amount of damage. It's just over time. It's just use, overuse. I mean, it's almost like using the same pen every single day. Eventually, it's going to run out of ink if you don't refill it. Mm-hmm. So you have to take care of your internal self as well and not just go, 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 go. When we're younger, we recover really fast. We have faster metabolisms. We don't have to deal with all of these things, but it's just a process, and it's a process that we have to learn through and grow through. And if you're willing to do that and take care of your body throughout the process, you're going to maintain a nice, lean physique. I mean, there's a look at Frank Zane. He is one of the most incredible bodybuilders of all time. He is still in phenomenal shape, him and his wife. They work out. They train every day. They take great care of themselves. They do the yoga. They do everything. So if you haven't ever seen this man, check him out. He's pretty freaking phenomenal, and he's been around for a very long time.
Mm-hmm,
so yeah. He is just a walking, yeah, he's a walking testimony of it definitely works if you take care of your body.
And Amy, last question. Are there things in your diet you could take to protect yourself? For example, if you're someone who struggles with osteoporosis and maybe with, you know, protecting your bones, are there certain things you could be drinking or eating to protect yourself better?
Without a doubt, a diet that's focused on creating as little inflammation in the system as possible, that is amazing. Yes, because the more inflammation you have in your system, the more aches, the more pains you're going to feel. So food and nutrition and supplementation are definitely all linked to that as well. So yes, you can actually look up some inflammatory diets online or foods that help with inflammation in the system to kind of get yourself started. But yes, there are a lot of things that can combat and help that.
Amy, if people want to contact you or get your help on any of these topics we talked about, how can they find you?
We are located at fitbodyvibe.com. That's our website, and we also have a YouTube page as well with a lot of videos kind of explaining how to work out properly and some nutrition and cooking tips. So we just have a plethora of things that you guys might be interested in and in checking out. So www.fitbodyvibe.com.
Amy Linus, of course, for Workout Wednesdays. Thank you so much for popping on. We'll talk again next week.
Thanks, Melissa. Looking forward to next week. We'll see you then.
All right. Sounds good, my friend. I'll talk to you soon.
It's time to get out and explore. Melissa in the Morning brings you science you may not know on Southern Connecticut's news and information leader, WICC 600.
Of course, checking in with David Mestre for Science You May Not Know. And, David, I got to be honest, you kind of bringing me back to a time where I was one of the only people in my class who could not master the rubber band gun on your finger. I was awful at this. Like, I've been nervous all morning trying to practice, and I'm still awful at it. 30 years later, I'm terrible. Were you ever good at this?
Oh, you know, I kind of got it. But I think you know what? Guess what, Melissa? I think physics is going to help you.
Really? Tell me, please.
Yes.
Fix 8-year-old Melissa, who was the only one who couldn't do this.
All right. Well, here's the thing. You know, 8-year-old Melissa probably didn't have the help of two physicists from Boston University. But fear not. They actually worked on this problem. And it's kind of amazing. Like, sometimes when you think of something as simple as just shooting a rubber band with your thumb, there's actually a lot of physics that's involved in this. And we're going to talk about this. And then maybe we might be able to get you to actually do it. And we've got some tricks and some tips that can help. So first off, this is going to work. We have physics on your side.
Okay, thank you so
and
much.
So the way this works is that you take a rubber band and you loop it around your thumb. And so they worked what they did is they used the thumb for this experiment. And then you pull the rubber band back, and then when you let go, you know, maybe you never stop to think about this, but for a lot of kids, how does the thumb get out of the way? How does the back of the rubber band miss the thumb?
Exactly.
Yeah, so that's the trick. That's the real trick.
That's where I'm at. It never went anywhere, and I only hurt myself. So,
all right,
yes.
So it turned out that in your case, the back of the rubber band actually hit your finger or hit your thumb. So what happens? So what happens is that, you know, we're going to need to kind of understand a little bit of forces. And so when you take the rubber band and wrap it around that thumb, and then you stretch back and you're holding it in place while you're aiming, there are a couple of forces that are balancing out. First, it's the force of your thumb pushing forward, holding the front end of the rubber band in place, and it's the tension of the rubber band pulling back on the thumb, and those forces are in balance. But these physicists actually did some studies. They actually did slow motion and camera work to see what was happening with the thumb. And so what happens is that when you let go of the back end of that rubber band, a wave of tension is released. And so what happens is that this wave of tension literally travels up the rubber band to where your thumb is. And for this split second, your thumb doesn't feel a backward force from the rubber band anymore. But your thumb is still pushing forward. And
what?
In that instant, yes, your thumb is still didn't get the message that it has to stop. And so because it's still pushing forward, what ends up happening is that in that instant, before the back end smacks into the thumb, the thumb literally is still pushing forward, but there's nothing to push against, and the thumb deflects and gets out of the way.
So you mean so I'm doing it right now. So if I almost go against gravity, so I'm pulling it back towards my chest, and I push my thumb forward towards the computer in front of me.
Yep.
Oh, my God, there it goes.
You got it.
David, why weren't you friends with me 25 years ago? Are you kidding me right now? Whatever.
Yes. We were able to use physics to help you, Melissa. This is amazing. Now the thing is that the physicists out at Boston University actually worked on a, there's actually a formula that actually tells you how you actually put all of these parameters together, the thickness of your thumb, how big your thumb is, the rubber band, how much you stretch it, because there are a couple things that could happen if the back of the rubber band does smack the back of your thumb. So what could happen? So one, it turns out that if you don't stretch the rubber band far enough and there isn't enough tension, then when you let go, your thumb doesn't deflect out of the way because it wasn't pushing hard enough against the front of that rubber band. So that's case number one. That can happen. And case number two is if you stretch too much, if you're pulling that rubber band too far back, there's so much tension now that the rubber band actually snaps faster. And so your thumb can't get out of the way because the back end of that rubber band is actually moving faster because you put the rubber band under tension.
Yeah, that was me. That was me. I was like, oh, if I pull this harder, it's going to go. And
if I pull it harder, exactly. Yeah. You were actually putting too much tension on the rubber band. Mm-hmm. And because of that, the back end of the rubber band was actually moving too fast. So physics works here too. So it turns out that the best combination that actually helps to make sure that back end of the rubber band does not hit the back of your thumb is that you want to have like a thick rubber band, and you don't want to pull back too far, or you don't want the rubber band to be too loose. And so if you pick up their paper, you know, they've actually got a formula that tells you all the things that you need to do in order for that rubber band not to hit the back of your thumb. It's physics.
Yeah.
It's physics.
Well, David, you know, your physics, I'm pretty sure, is going to mean a lot of kids who are driving to school this morning with their parents. They're going to be trying it in their classrooms. A lot of the parents, I see you parents who are listening right now and going, oh, I can't wait to hit Jimmy at work. Don't hit Jimmy at work. Jimmy's having a rough day today, so don't hit him at work. I could see a lot of these rubber band guns flying through the air today. But, I mean, I feel so much better so many years later. I'm kind of mad. My fourth grade teacher, Mr. Carbone, not to call him out, but I'm going to because I know he listens to the show in Fairfield. He's like a big science whiz. And, you know, he never corrected me on this. So, Mr. Carbone, I'm a little upset with you right now. But, David, I'm so glad you taught me how to do this. And I'm going to hope I don't hit Christian at all this morning. That's the goal. I'm trying to try
well,
out
I'm
target
glad
practice.
That... Yep, I'm glad that physics was able to, I was able to help you.
Yeah,
and that's,
you always do. You always do, David Mestre. Thank you so much. David Mestre of Science You May Not Know. We'll talk again next week.
All right, take care.
Yeah, no problem.